In the previous couple of Mishnayos, we learned that there were seven different entrances into the Azara, the main courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and one of those entrances really led into a very large room called the Beis HaMoked, and on the other side of that room was the exit from that room and really the entrance into the courtyard. This room is called the Beis HaMoked, which literally means the house or the large room of the fire, because there were fires which were constantly burning there in the room in order to keep the Kohanim warm. And one of the purposes of this room was actually for the Kohanim to sleep there at night, those Kohanim who would be serving the Beis HaMikdash during that week. And we learned a couple of Mishnayos ago that half of this room was in line with the courtyard itself. It jutted into the courtyard, and that area had the same holy status as the courtyard, whereas the other half of the room was in line with the area outside of the courtyard, and that had a lower level of sanctity. And the Kohanim would only be allowed to sleep in the half which had a lower level of sanctity. It's not considered respectful to sleep inside the part which has the same level of sanctity as the courtyard. This Mishnah describes a bit more about this room, Beis HaMoked, this large room called the Beis HaMoked Kippah. It had a domed roof. Bais Gadol Haya, literally it was a large house, a very large room, and like we learned a couple of Mishnahs ago, there were four smaller booths in each corner of this Beis HaMoked. Mukof Ravdim Shel Even, it was surrounded by stone steps leading up to the wall. These steps were pretty wide, and on the outskirts of the room, sort of on the outer part of the room, there were steps on different levels going up towards the wall. And the point of this was that Vizikne Beis Av Yishenim Shom, the older members of the group of Kohanim who were serving in the Beis HaMikdash that week, would sleep there on those steps. Umavtachos HaAzara B'yadam, and the keys to open the courtyard were in their hand. They took care of them and protected them during the night time. Ufirche Kohuna, and the younger Kohanim, we're talking about Kohanim who are at least 20 years old, so they're able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, but they are relatively young. Ish Kistoi Ba'oretz, each of them would have his bedding, his sheets, and whatever he would use to sleep on the ground. They wouldn't sleep on the steps around the room, but they would rather sleep on the floor in the middle of this very large room. And once again, they would sleep specifically on the hearth, which is in line with the area outside of the courtyard and therefore has a lower level of holiness. So they're allowed to sleep over there. Mishnah test. This Mishnah continues the description of the Beis HaMoked. U'mokom ha'yosham, there was a area over there at some point in that room. Amar al amar. It's an area on the floor which measured one amor by one amor. An amor is roughly half a meter. So there was a square tile, the Tavla Shel Shayesh, there was a square tile of marble on that area. It was part of the floor. The Tabas HaYisakavua Bar, and there was a ring attached on top of that marble tile. Underneath the tile, there was really a hole which was made into the ground, and on the lower side of the tile, which one couldn't see if the tile was placed on the floor, underneath the tile, v'shal sheles sham avtechis ha'yitulois bar, there was a chain attached to underneath the tile to which the keys were attached and hanging from that chain. Higiazon an ila, when the time to lock all of the doors at night arrived, all of the doors of the courtyard, not just the door going from the Beis HaMoked into the courtyard, but all of the seven entrances into the courtyard. Higbias atavla b'tabas, the Kohen who was appointed to do so, would lift up this square marble tile with the ring, which was on top of it, that was used to lift up the tile. V'notel al samavtechis v'nashal sheles, and he would take the keys off of the chain which was attached to the bottom of the tile. V'notel akome b'fnim, and the Kohen would lock the doors of the courtyard from the inside of the courtyard. Uven Levi Yoshalim Bachutz, and there would be a Levi sleeping on the outside of the courtyard by each of the gates. As we learnt earlier on in this perek, there was a Levi standing by each of the gates of the courtyard, guarding there, but he would only begin to guard at night once everything was locked up. So meanwhile, he was sleeping. He was ready in his position, but he was sleeping in order to gain energy to guard the entire night. Gomar Milinoil, once this Kohen had completed locking the doors and the entrances to the courtyard, Hechzias Mavtechis Shal Sheles, he put the keys back onto the chain. Ves atarulim kaimah, and the tile he returned to its place on the floor. Nosan ksusay aleha, he placed his bedding, his sheet, on top of the tile and the ring. And yoshin loy, he would sleep on top of that in order to protect it. The second half of this Mishnah appears also at the beginning of Maseches Tomid and discusses a scenario where Eirak Heri be'echon mehem, if one of the Kohanim who was sleeping in the Beis HaMoked that night, if he experienced a flow of certain substances from his body which would make him tome, impure. He becomes a Baal Keri, a certain person who has a particular type of impurity. And of course it's now going to be forbidden for him to perform the service in the Beis HaMikdash the next day. But there's an additional issue which has to be addressed, and that is, in general, somebody who has this level of tumah, impurity, is forbidden to enter the Beis HaMikdash. And if somebody becomes impure with such an impurity whilst he's in the Beis HaMikdash, he is obligated to leave immediately. However, it's now the middle of the night, and all of the doors are locked, so what should he do? The Mishnah says, Yaitzu v'holich le'bamasiba, he should leave via the tunnel, ha'ileches tachas habira, which goes underneath the Beis HaMikdash. And we actually mentioned earlier on in the Perek, in this chapter, that one of the four booths, which was in the corner of this large room, the Beis HaMoked, basically led to this tunnel for a person to be able to leave and go underground. So he would go underground through this tunnel, and the truth is, the tunnel being underground does not have the same sanctity that the courtyard and the Beis HaMikdash have themselves. And therefore, it's not such a problem if he is situated over there with his state of impurity. There would be lamps of fire lit on either side of the tunnel in a number of different places there, until he reaches the room which had a mikveh, a body of water for him to immerse himself in order to purify himself. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov says that he would not go through a tunnel which was underneath the Beis HaMikdash and the courtyard itself, because according to Rabbi Lezman Yaakov, even though it's underground, it still has the same sanctity and holiness because it's in line with the courtyard itself. So he couldn't go under the tunnel over there. It's like he's in the courtyard itself. Rather, he would make his way to this body of water, the mikveh, via a tunnel which went underneath the chel, which was the area which surrounded the outskirts of the courtyard, and really of the entire Beis HaMikdash area. And the chel had a lower level of sanctity, and therefore it was permitted for him to go underneath a tunnel, in a tunnel underneath the chel. Now, once he had purified himself in the mikveh, although he still has a remnant of impurity which remains with him until the end of the next day, until nightfall, and therefore he's not able to perform the service, and he still needs to leave the Beis HaMikdash. However, because it's only a remnant of that impurity, he's permitted to return to the Beis HaMoked where he was sleeping, and in the morning, once all of the gates are opened and unlocked, then Yitzvah Lebetodi, he would leave the Beis HaMikdash via the Todi gate. This was actually a gate which was the entrance or the exit from Har HaBayis, which was the entire area which surrounded the Beis HaMikdash and also had a certain level of sanctity, and that's why he had to leave even that area, because of his impurity. Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph. This perek outlines the measurements of the different parts of the Beis HaMikdash, and really starting from Har HaBayis, which the Mishnah tells us, Har HaBayis v'el chamesh meos amah, chamesh meos amah. This was an area on the mountain where the Beis HaMikdash stood, which was 500 by 500 amas, which is roughly 250 by 250 meters, surrounded by a wall, and all of the Kalim Mishnayos are going to go sort of deeper to more inside of the Beis HaMikdash, what existed within Har HaBayis. And the truth is, the Beis HaMikdash, which was a rectangle, 135 amas wide and 322 amas long altogether, including the outer courtyard, this Beis HaMikdash, the rectangle, wasn't situated bang in the middle of Har HaBayis, such that the areas which were on each side of the Beis HaMikdash within Har HaBayis were different sizes. Rubim min HaDorim, the largest of the areas in Har HaBayis, which was not taken up by the Beis HaMikdash and was used for other things, was on the southern side of the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Beis HaMikdash, this rectangular area of the Beis HaMikdash, was much more towards the north side than the southern side. Shein lo min ha-mizrach, the second largest area on the side of the Beis HaMikdash within Har HaBayis that the Beis HaMikdash was not taking up was on the eastern side of the Beis HaMikdash. Shlish lo min ha-tzofein, the third largest area was on the northern side, Mi'utah min ha-ma'arav, and the smallest area, which was left in between the walls of Har HaBayis and the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, was on the western side. Which means that the Beis HaMikdash itself was situated towards the northwestern corner of Har HaBayis. Of course, it was a massive rectangle, so it took up a huge amount of Har HaBayis, but it was towards the northwestern side of Har HaBayis. Mekom Shaya Rov Midasai, the area which was largest, and that would be the area on the south, to the south of the Beis HaMikdash, Shom HaRov Tashmishai, there would be the majority of the uses of that area. The larger the area, the more it could be used for. And there were many different things, many chambers, amongst other things, as well as many, many people who would fill that area. And this is an area which had more sanctity than outside of Har HaBayis, but not as much sanctity and holiness as the Beis HaMikdash itself. Anybody who would enter the Har HaBayis area, nichnosim derech yomin, v'makifim v'yotzim derech smol. He would enter and go in the right direction. He would make a right turn and he would go around Har HaBayis and leave towards the left. The Mishnah is really telling us two things. Number one is that it's considered to be praiseworthy to leave from a different exit than the way that he entered into the Har HaBayis. For example, if he entered in through the eastern gate of Har HaBayis, he should leave via the western gate. The idea of this is possibly to show that he is coming out a changed person. He's not just going out, leaving this holy place, the same person that he always was. And the second thing that the Mishnah is showing us is that one should always turn right. This is a rule which applies in many different areas. If you have a choice to turn left or right, one should always turn right, which means that even if he needs to go to an area of Har HaBayis, which is very close to where he's entering, but it's on his left, he's supposed to go all the way around until he reaches there so that he can make that right turn instead of going left. Chutz memisha er oidovar, except for somebody who to whom something occurred, if a significant thing occurred to him, which the Mishnah will soon elaborate upon, then shu makif lismoil, he would go around Har HaBayis, but he would turn left, he would go in the opposite direction, in a clockwise direction, and when people would see this, they would notice and they would see that something is going on over here. And they would ask him, Maloch makif lismoil, why are you turning to the left? And he would answer, Sh'ani ovel, because I am a mourner. This is the first type of person who is supposed to turn to the left instead of to the right, if his close relative had passed away. And the person who heard this would reply by comforting him, Hashaychim abay zayin achemcha, the one who rests his presence and lives in this house, this is referring to Hashem, should comfort you. And this is a way of getting many people to comfort the mourner. And the second type of person who would turn to the left is somebody who had been excommunicated by the Beis Din. He's a menudeh, which is when he violates certain very severe sins, and the courts see it fit to make him a menudeh, which means that he can't have regular contact with other people, he can't necessarily do business with anybody, or be involved in regular life with other people, and he would also turn to the left, and when people would ask him why he turned to the left, he would have to reply, Shani menudeh, because I am a menudeh, and they would reply by saying, Asherim b'ayis zaytin b'libam v'karvucha, the one who lives in his house, Hashem, should place in the hearts of those who excommunicated you, v'karvucha, that they should bring you close to them again. They should pity you and take away this excommunication. Dear Rabbi Meir, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir, but Omar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi said to him, Asison kilo ovra all of a sudden, you're making it out as if the court did something over here which wasn't just. So you're really making a mockery of the Beis Din, of the court, and the Torah leaders who gave him this status of a menudeh. Rather, Ela Sheikh Mavais Zaytin Beliboch, they should say that the one who lives in this house should place it in your heart that you should listen to the words of your friends of the Beis Din in the court, and you should really repent and show them that you are sincere, and that will cause them, v'karvucha, that they will bring you near once again, and they will take away your status of being a menudeh.